Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship together at Faith Community United Methodist Church. It is good to be with you on this second Sunday of Advent as we join together in worship. The poinsettias will be coming soon, and you still have time to order some poinsettias if you would like. The order form is in your bulletin. The bulletins are on the pews there with you, and you can take this order form and get it back into the church office with your payment for the poinsettias if you would like to order one in memory or in honor of someone, and that will be in the bulletin when the poinsettias come into the sanctuary. Also, I want to let you know that the offering envelopes for 2021 are in. They're on a table out in the narthex, so if you didn't see it on your way in, make sure that as you exit the service that you stop by that table and get your offering envelopes. Don't all go to the table at the same time. We don't want a crowd of people around the table, but when you see a space open to safely go up there and get your envelope, I invite you to do that. And not just around that table, but anywhere in the narthex or around the doorways, it's very easy for it to get very crowded in that room very quickly as people gather around, and we want to be sure to avoid that. So when you do exit the service, if you would not gather around the doorways, but keep going through the doorway until you get to where you're going, either your Sunday school class or out to the parking lot or down the hallway, but just be sure not to gather in groups out in the narthex so we can continue to be as safe as possible and continue to worship in person as we have been so blessed to be able to continue doing. I invite you now to stand as you are able for the call to worship.
Good morning. Please join with me in the call to worship. The day of the Lord brings grace and blessing.
We come to this day with hearts prepared for praising.
The day of the Lord brings judgment and pardon.
We come to this day with souls set on praying.
The day of the Lord brings wisdom and light.
We come to this day with minds eager to listen for God's will.
In our praising, praying, listening, and responding,
we come to worship God.
Please remain standing and join with us in the hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, hymn 196. Seated. Please join with me in the opening prayer. God of the journey, your invitation is to all to walk with you without fear of stumbling. Your arm enough to steady the feeblest soul. Your grace to rescue us should we fall. Grant us faith enough to take you at your word, to know that when our hearts are heavy and the destination seems so distant, that you are there with us along the road. Forgive us those times when we doubt your word, when we awake and feel alone. Draw us ever closer into your family, that we might know your presence and sing your praises all the days of our lives. Amen.
We live on the brink every day. We stand on the threshold between this world and the next one. We live and move between the ordinary and divine, between the mundane and the mystery. Too often we forget to look up and see the angels in our living room. We forget that the love we give and live is a sign of eternity. God with us right now.
Luke tells us that God's favor came to a girl. An ordinary girl. It might have been you or your daughter. It might have been the girl down the street or your grandchild. But the messenger of God came and greeted her and said, "The Lord is with you." What a gift and a promise. Emmanuel, God is with us.
We light these candles with peace in our hearts for the promise of proximity, the nearness of God. Even when we forget to listen, to lean into that presence, God is as close as our own breath. This, in a confused and confusing world, is a peace that passes all understanding.
And now as we rest in that peace that passes understanding, and as we turn our hearts to God in prayer, let us sing together our prayer hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." It's in the hymnal number 218.
Look now.
Bow in prayer. Oh God, you are the Lord of Lords. Christ, you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, you come to us in the midst of a troubled world. You come to us in the midst of our own struggles, our own sorrows. And you come to calm all of our fears because our hope is in you, Lord. Your assurance is our peace. Lord, we acknowledge the doubts that too long have plagued us. We confess our own sinfulness that has often led us astray. Lord, we present ourselves to you just as we are. And we trust you to remake us just as you intend for us to be. We pray for those who are in harm's way, especially those who are there to serve us, the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, who deal with all kinds of emergencies and illnesses, especially those dealing with this coronavirus that continues to plague us. Protect them, Lord. Work your mercy through them. And protect us as well, and work your mercy through us. During this joyous season of celebration, as we are blessed with so much abundance, make us mindful of those who go without. Provide for the needs of those who are homeless, the unemployed, the underemployed, those who are sick, those who are overwhelmed. Show them your mercy. Work your love through us to be a blessing to others. These things we ask in the name of the one who is the greatest blessing of all and the most precious gift ever given, Jesus the Christ. As we offer now the prayer that he has taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us break bread together on our knees.
Let us break bread together on our knees.
When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
let us drink.
drink wine together.
Thank you, Gene and John. At this time, please rise if you are able for the reading of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated.
You may be seated.
Has anyone ever told you a story that was so remarkable, so spectacular, so far out there that you knew that they had to be making it up, even though they swore to you that it was the truth? Do you remember how you responded to that? Did anyone ever tell you, after revealing that she was pregnant, that she was still, in fact, a virgin, and that the child was conceived in her by the Holy Spirit of God? How do you suppose you would respond to that? We know how Joseph responded to that. The Bible tells us he planned to dismiss her quietly. This was a big uh-oh situation that Joseph was dealing with here. His fiancée, Mary, was pregnant, even though they had not yet been together. Our Advent series this year is From Uh-Oh to Aha, A Journey of Christmas Discovery. We're looking at several different uh-oh situations in the Bible stories leading up to the birth of Jesus, and how God turned those uh-ohs into ahas, how God's sovereign plan came to be revealed. We're not taking these stories chronologically, Mary actually had her moment of realization prior to Joseph. Although the angel's visit to Mary is only told in Luke's gospel, and the angel's visit to Joseph is only told in Matthew's gospel, it seems pretty obvious that the angel came to Mary first. She knew before Joseph did. How long before, we don't really know, but she knew first. In Joseph's case, he found out about the pregnancy before he understood the divine origin of the pregnancy. Exactly when and exactly how he found out, we don't know. Could be that the morning sickness had begun to set in. Every time Joseph tried to enjoy a nice meal with his young bride-to-be, she got sick, and he started to put it together. It could be that Mary was far enough along for the baby bump to start showing. It could be that Mary had simply decided to be honest with him, to tell Joseph right off the bat what the words that the angel had spoken to her. All that the Bible tells us about this discovery is that Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child. Uh-oh. She was found out. Now, what was he going to do about it? That's the question that faced Joseph. Regardless of whether or not Mary told him about her visit from the angel, the announcement that had been made to her, the divine origin of this child, Joseph would have had no reason to believe those words. It would have sounded to him like a fanciful tale, just as it would sound to any of us today if a pregnant teenager said, "I swear I've never been with a man." Just a young girl in a dangerous position trying to get herself out of trouble. And this was a dangerous position for Mary. She was in trouble. An engagement in those days was a legally binding contract. In becoming engaged to Joseph, she had been legally pledged to him. For her to be with another man was just the same as adultery, and it carried the very same punishment: death. The law gave Joseph permission to have Mary killed. That is, if she had been with another man, which, of course, we know that she hadn't been. But how was Joseph to know that? All Joseph knew was that all of his dreams for his impending marriage had just been crushed. The woman whom he was planning to spend the rest of his life with, the woman he was committed to being faithful to, the woman that he was going to love and cherish and care for all of his life, was with child. And the child was not his. Which could only mean that she had been unfaithful. What other explanation could there be? And if she had been unfaithful this early on, what hope could there be for their future together? It was over. Done. The marriage was off. That's what Joseph thought. That's what he had decided. Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. Deuteronomy 22 laid down the law of what should happen in a case of infidelity. According to the law, it made a difference where the offense took place. If it happened inside the city, then both the man and the woman were guilty, and both of them were to be stoned to death. If it happened away from the city, then only the man was considered guilty. It could be that the woman had resisted and had called out for help, but there was no one around to hear her. The presumption of innocence ruled in the woman's favor if it took place outside of the city. She would be allowed to live, but still, the groom could call off the engagement because his bride-to-be had been compromised and the child was not his. In Mary's case, Joseph had no idea where this offense took place. Because, of course, there was no offense. Mary had been faithful all along, but Joseph couldn't know that. If he wanted to treat her according to the law, he would have to make a public investigation. Ask around to all of the neighbors, did you see anything? Did you hear anything? Who was she with? Where did they go? He would basically have to bring her situation to the attention of the entire town just to get to the bottom of it. And then he would know whether she deserved to die or whether she should just be sent away to fend for herself and the child on her own. In order to conduct such an investigation, in order to get to the bottom of things, he would have to expose her to public disgrace. Even if she were acquitted, the whole procedure would bring her disgrace. The Bible says he was not willing to expose her to public disgrace. Instead, he decided to dismiss her quietly. A man was allowed to divorce a woman for just about any reason. To say that he planned to dismiss her quietly means that he wasn't going to tell anyone why he was calling off the marriage. If they asked him why he was dismissing her, he'd say, "It's none of your business." What that means is that they could assume that the child was his, and he wasn't going to contradict that. She could present herself as an honorable woman whose fiancé had simply decided he didn't want her anymore. In essence, Joseph decided to take responsibility for a child that he knew was not his. Can you imagine? Knowing the child wasn't his, assuming the child was the fruit of infidelity, and yet he wasn't willing to have others thinking badly of her and the baby, judging her, scorning them. And so he led on like he had simply changed his mind and resolved to let others think whatever they would. Can you imagine the torment he must have been going through? Can you imagine the disappointment, the sense of loss, the grief that was tearing him apart, the turmoil within his own soul over how this had all turned out, this relationship that he was banking his life on, now appeared to be a terrible mistake. And yet, Joseph had resolved to handle the situation with as much grace as he possibly could. More grace, perhaps, than most would even consider possible. Perhaps that's why God had chosen him for this particular role, to serve as the earthly father of God's son, because God knew that Joseph was a man who could have peace within himself and with God, regardless of how the world saw him or what anyone else thought of him. After all, even though Joseph would come to know the truth about this birth, he couldn't expect that any of the neighbors were going to believe this story. That's the thing about Joseph. He didn't have to convince anybody else. His peace didn't depend on anyone else seeing him as righteous or believing what he knew to be the truth. His peace came simply from knowing that he was walking with God. So even before his aha moment, even before the angel appeared to him in that dream, even before Joseph learned the whole truth of the story, he had peace. Even in the midst of his grief and sorrow, he had enough peace to show compassion to another. Even though life was not turning out as he had planned, even though it looked like his marriage had ended before it had even begun, Joseph found enough peace to show grace and mercy, to live in righteousness and love. Then came the aha. Then came the angel filling in the rest of the story. Then came those words, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Why would he be afraid to take Mary as his wife? He'd be afraid to take Mary as his wife because he feared that she would always be unfaithful. He feared that she would never truly be his. He feared that their marriage would be a sham, that they would be on unequal footing, that he would be made to look the fool. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Had Mary already told Joseph this before? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if she had, we know that he didn't believe it until that moment.
and who could blame him? But once the angel of the Lord announced the good news to Joseph and explained how this child was the fulfillment of all that had been foretold in the Holy Scriptures, Joseph believed. Aha! Aha! This wasn't some terrible accident after all. This was not the result of some infidelity on Mary's part. This was the result of unimaginable fidelity on God's part. This was no uh-oh. This was God's plan of redemption. This was salvation for all God's people, the fulfillment of all God's promises. Joseph heard the good news through the angel of the Lord, and he believed. And more than believed, Joseph trusted God, and he did exactly as he was commanded. He took Mary as his wife and had no marital relations with her until the child was born. And when the child was born, he named him Jesus. Jesus, a name that means he saves. Joseph believed. With all his heart, he believed this child is the Savior. And through that faith, he found peace. Even though this was not at all the marriage that he had planned on having, who in the world plans on getting married and then waiting for months on end before having normal marital relations? Who plans on raising the Son of God? What would that even be like? I can't imagine. But Joseph just moved forward, doing what he was told without fear, confidently obeying the command of God, knowing that he could trust the word of God, having peace because he knew that God was in this and that God was with him and that he was walking God's path. Peace. Because he knew that with God there is nothing to fear. That's the kind of peace that comes to us with Advent, with Christmas. It doesn't mean there's no conflict in the world. It doesn't mean that all wars have ceased. It doesn't mean that there's no upheaval, or that others will see things the same way that we do, or that everything will turn out the way that we have planned. If we're waiting for any of that in order to have peace, then peace is never to be found. Peace does not come from being in control. Peace comes from knowing that God is in control. Peace doesn't come from things going according to our plan. Peace comes from accepting God's plan. Peace comes from the absolute, unwavering faith that God is with us. And because God is with us, we have nothing to fear. I know that there is a lot of disquiet this holiday season. Nothing is the way that it's supposed to be, at least according to our way of seeing things. People are griping about not getting to have the kind of Christmas celebrations they want to have or that they're used to having. This isn't what we bought into. This isn't what we signed up for. Well, I can guarantee you that Joseph's marriage is not at all what he had signed up for, not when they got engaged anyway. And the part that we looked at today was just the tip of the iceberg. Take the unexpected pregnancy and the added 9 months of celibacy, and then add on top of that having to travel across country in the 9th month of pregnancy to a town where there was no place for you to stay, and delivering the baby in a stable surrounded by animals, and then finding out shortly after that that the king wants to kill the baby and having to flee to a whole nother country. If there was anyone who had reason to gripe, it was Joseph. But through it all, Joseph had peace. Joseph had peace because he knew that God was with him and that he was in God's path. Joseph had peace because he knew that God was his protector and his provider. Joseph had peace because he knew that through this child that he had the privilege of raising, God's salvation would be delivered to the world. Amen. It is that salvation to the world delivered in the gift of Jesus Christ and in the sacrifice that he made for us that we celebrate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so I invite you to turn now in your hymnals, in the front of your hymnals, to page number 13 for the prayer of the great thanksgiving as we prepare to receive this holy sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send away empty. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on the cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him.
the cup of salvation poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and drink in remembrance of him. And now, as God's forgiven, redeemed, reconciled people, we celebrate and rejoice along with that heavenly choir of angels as we sing together in praise. I invite you to stand as you are able. Turn in your hymnals to number 240 and let us sing together. Hark, the herald angels sing. Go now in that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that comes only from our Lord. Go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.